read that one verse as a text this morning. John 6, verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Now, I want to start by saying, I've heard other men say this, it's where I got it from. But I think it proves a point, at least it did to me. Now, these are not the words of some church member. This is not the opinion of some preacher. This is not some radical, opinionated denominationalist trying to prove his point. These are not even the words of some Reformed theologian. And there's been some good Reformed theologians.
Yes, sir.
Some men, Mason, who taught the truth. Set it down in theological form, you know. These are not the words of some ancient Catholic saint. And you know what? There's been a couple of them that's been decent, that's taught the truth. These are the very words of God in the flesh. Now, you see, this is not some fallible man taking the Bible and then maybe not going far enough in what he says about what he reads. Nor is it some fallible man taking the Bible and maybe going too far in defining what he reads. This is truth incarnate speaking. There is no flaw here. And one of the reasons I said what I did before, somebody said, well, prove that. I don't have to.
That's it.
That's not what God called me to do, was prove that God is right.
Exactly.
He called me to preach that God is right.
Amen.
And we as believers, and especially we here as a local assembly of people called into the grace of Christ and in the fellowship of His Son, that's not what we're about. I'm not trying to prove to our community, let alone the world, as to whether God is true or not. God said, our Lord Jesus Christ Himself said, that's God. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We preach that.
Amen.
We don't debate it. We don't try to prove it. We just preach it. Now, what did Christ teach? When He said this, what did He teach? Now, let's read it again. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me.
Amen.
And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. So what did He teach? Now, this is my explanation of what He taught. But what He taught's right here in black and white before us. Now, what He taught is this. He taught that every single individual, okay? The reason I know that is while He says, all that the Father giveth me, that seems to be a generalization, right? And that's all. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. But then He adds, look at what it is, and what did it say? And all that come to me, I will no wise cast out. That's not what He said, did He? He said, and what? Him. Him. Every single individual. Okay? Now the reason is, we might say, or we can say, that God chose the church. I've heard Arminians say that. You know? God chose His people. Right? But the truth is the matter, God chose individuals.
Yes, sir.
So much so that we're even given illustration of it in Romans 9 where you had two twins. Right? Two twins. And God not only chose one, but He rejected the other.
That's right.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. And all of this was that the purpose of God so that the purpose of God according to election might stand. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. So Christ taught that every single individual the Father gives to the Son, every one of them shall come to Christ. Right? Every one of them shall come to Christ, and not a single one of the comers will be cast out for any reason.
That's right.
Right? Now, if a man says something contrary to that, I believe Christ, not him.
Exactly.
This is the precedent.
Yes, sir.
There is no Bible, there's no verse in the Bible, there is no scripture that contradicts this truth. We dare not use another verse in the Bible to try and explain away this truth.
Right.
Now, there are a lot of similar passages that talk about this similar event, or actually many events, because it's all, but it happens individually, right?
Yes, sir.
There is this total group, but it takes place individually. There are many passages in Scripture that refer to this. But what I know by experience, because I used to be there. See, I wasn't just brought up always hearing this, therefore I'm David, just this is what I believe because I've always heard it. And what I say about other people is just what I've heard other people say about other people. No, I've been there.
Yeah.
And I was one of them that was doing the saying.
Yeah.
I used to do that preaching. And I used to try to find verses to explain away verses like this.
Exactly.
They do it all the time. But this fact stands recorded in Scripture, God's holy word, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me.
Amen.
And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise, right?
Amen.
I will in no wise cast out. Now, one of the problems with many people is they think they've come, they've not.
Yeah.
That's right. Many people think they've come to Christ, they've not come to Christ. And the problem is, but if I go out and do this, you're telling me God won't cast you out. You might not be in to start with.
Exactly.
You know? I'm not here trying to prove to you individually. He's the one who knows who these are.
Amen.
Right? The Father is giving them to him, not to me.
That's it.
No. Men always somehow try to justify themselves or their opinions or their ideas rather than just simply bowing to the Word of God.
Yes, sir. That's true. You're right.
Well, what? Because I'm here to preach. I'm not here just to quote Scripture. That's not what we're called to do, right? I'm not called here just to read and quote Scripture. We're called to expound upon the Word of God. So what does this teach? Now, I'm going to say it's beyond debate. I'm not here to try to give rational ideas about this. I'm here to try to declare what thus saith the Lord.
Yes, sir.
It is beyond debate. Somebody is coming to Christ. Without question, without failure, without fault. Somebody's coming to Christ.
Amen.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Anybody who rejects that is basically rejecting the whole testimony of Scripture.
Yep.
Because in the end, it lets us know somebody will come to Christ and somebody won't.
That's right.
Right? Somebody's going to make it, somebody ain't going to make it. Somebody says, is it possible for everybody to be saved? No, it's not possible. The book done said somebody going to hell. Somebody's going to hell.
Amen.
The book's already prophesied. John's already seen it in the book of the Revelation. There is this massive group of people that will be cast into the lake of fire.
That's right.
Mason, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
So the honest statement, is it possible that everyone be saved? No. No. Let's just tell the truth. Give the devil the lie. Someone is coming to Christ. and their safety is certain.
Yes, sir.
Now, before I go into a few points here, let me just mention a couple things. There are some people who object to this. Now, granted, there are those who object to this. They say that's not true. That's not what it means. It means exactly what it says. It's right there.
Yes, sir.
You know? I mean, it's right there in black and white before us. It's even been translated into the language that most of us speak, right? Maybe not very well, but we do that. It's been translated right here before us. Now, there are those who, they just don't believe, that's not the truth. I don't believe that. I don't want to hear it. Well, you know, there are those. But there are those who object, not that it's true, but you know, you shouldn't teach stuff like that.
Yeah.
At least don't say it out loud.
Yeah.
Don't say it to the world. This is stuff that's for God's people, Ellen. It's what you talk about in Sunday school class when it's just believers there.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. Our Lord Jesus Christ is talking to who? A bunch of people he knew wouldn't believe, right? For Jesus knew from the beginning who it was that believed not and who should betray him.
Amen.
So he's telling both them and those who did believe and others who would yet believe, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. He didn't hide it, did he? He wasn't afraid of saying that, well, it might turn people off. Well, of course it does. The truth has always turned people off. Ever since we fell in our daddy Adam, the truth has turned us off.
Exactly.
The truth itself causes great anger within men's hearts and minds. I know. I've been there. And it can still happen. You know, I mean, you try to serve God. Just bear with me. You try to serve God. You're doing the best you can. And then you read in the Bible that Lot's called a righteous man. I ain't never done as bad as he did.
Exactly.
Right? I'm not guilty of incest. But you know what, David? God can save Lot, who was guilty of incest, and call him a just and righteous man, and God can send me to hell, and he'd be right in doing so.
Yes, sir. That's it.
Because, see, God saves by grace, not by works. As a matter of fact, he says he chose, and he gives us the illustration concerning Jacob and Esau, the children neither having done any good or evil.
That's right.
You know?
That's it.
Somebody says, explain that. Don't have to. It means what it says. God didn't say, well, I'm going to save the worst one, because he don't save all the worst ones, does he? But he certainly don't save all the best ones either, does he?
That's right.
His ways, according to the next chapter after chapter 11, are what? Past finding out.
Amen.
No, someone's coming to Christ and their safety is certain, and don't be afraid to say that.
Sir.
Well, you might tell somebody that and it'll just go down deep, bring this deep-seated hatred for God and the Bible in. That's right, he'll overcome that. If they're one of his. And if God the Father gives them to the Son, bless God, they're coming.
Amen.
They're going to come. Yes, I don't care how much enmity they got right now.
Yeah.
It'll be overcome.
That's right.
This is not preacher to people. This is not soul winner to people. This is God Almighty over mankind. Who do you think is going to win?
Exactly.
Remember, God has never tried to do anything.
That's it.
He's never tried to do anything. And I have the scripture is clear. Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Now he has commanded many a man to do many a thing, and they have rebelled.
Oh, yeah.
But he can make them do it.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
When Abraham lied about Sarah the second time,
yeah.
You know, said she was my sister, God kept that king from sinning against her. You know what it says?
Yes, sir.
And it says, the king's heart is in the Lord's hand. He turneth it whithersoever he will.
That's right.
Now God can either allow you to sin, or he can keep you from sinning. It's his business.
That's right.
I mean, most people their idea of God, he is nothing but a weak, miserable sissy. That's all he is. It is not the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. He is the sovereign of the universe. Like the one fellow from down in Princeton goes to a certain so-called church down there, big place, got all kinds of things going on for folks, even training up kids in a Christian school. Now, usually if you have a medical school, it means you're turning out medical students, right?
Yeah.
So what does it mean when you got a Christian school? Does that mean you're turning out Christians? Huh? Huh? We ought to watch the way we use these titles sometimes. There's only one person that can turn out Christians. That's Christ. You know? That's Christ.
Yes, sir.
If you can make somebody a Christian, somebody else can come along and unmake them. But if God makes them one, they are one. And they'll always be one. Because it's what God's made them to be, what God's declared them to be, in spite of what they are.
Exactly.
Huh? Romans 4 says, he calleth those things which be not as though they were.
Right.
Now, if you're in Christ, God says you're a righteous man or you're a righteous woman even when you ain't.
Exactly. Hmm?
And when I say when you ain't, that includes all the time.
Yeah.
Because you never are a righteous man or a righteous woman. There's none righteous, no, not one. So no, let's not be afraid to say this right. Don't matter who it's to. Now one, concerning what Christ said here. God the Father is actively engaged in giving a people to Christ the Son. Right? Notice it doesn't say all that the Father hath given me. Now there's some that's tried to use this to explain away election. See, he's giving them. Well, that's what it's saying. He's not talking about the election itself, but he's talking about God acting in time, actively giving people to the Son. Now, who's he giving to the Son? Those he chose to give to the Son. Because if he didn't choose to give to the Son, he ain't going to do it. You know, God's never done something he never planned on doing.
That's right.
You know, that's who God is. Everything he is doing now, he purposed to do in eternity.
Yes, sir.
He's not making this up as he goes along. He's not learning. He's not. I heard a fellow this morning say, God needs.
Yeah.
He did. He said, God needs. And I hit that seat button real quick. I was going through trying to find somebody to listen to. And I heard, God needs. I just kept on going. It was no reason to listen anymore.
Amen.
God don't need anything.
Exactly.
And he said, if I did, I wouldn't tell you.
That's
what he says in the book.
That's right. That's it.
And somebody said, God, is God being facetious? Maybe he was.
Yeah.
Huh? I don't need anything, but even if I did, I'm not asking you for it.
Right?
That's what the book says. It's in there. This thing, and I've said it over and over again, but it is so prevalent in our day. It is ingrained in young people's minds and older people's minds. God's done all he can do. Is that what this is saying? All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Does that sound like God's done all he can do? Sound like God's still actively engaged in giving a people to the Son, don't it? All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And it's an immutable purpose. It's not an attempt. All. That's why he didn't begin with him, because we might say, well, but what about the whole group? No, all. But this all is not all, but it is all of this group.
That's right.
You get that? See, some people, but it says all, so that means everybody's without exception. Well, then you think he's teaching everybody's going to be saved. Everybody's coming to Christ. That's not what this book teaches.
Yes, sir. That's right.
And even as our Lord went on to say, verse 45, it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and learned of the Father cometh unto me. Let me tell you something. God has and is and will save the world.
Yes, sir.
But that don't mean he's going to save every individual in the world. He's going to save all.
Yes, sir.
But not all without exception.
Yeah.
He's going to save all without distinction. Now look at what it said. God saved the world. Revelation, look at what it says. Revelation chapter 5. John was given this vision of something happening in heaven. Yeah. Here's a group of people. Revelation 5 verse 9. And they sung a new song saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. God's redeemed the world.
Yes, sir.
That's what that says right there.
Yes, sir.
You can save the lines without saving every single individual line.
That's right.
And you can save humanity without saving every single human. He is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. But what they want to emphasize world is how many people it is, rather than looking at what it says, He shall what? Take away. Then how can they go to hell then? Right?
Yeah.
See, if He takes your sin away, there's nothing for you to be condemned of.
Exactly.
Well, what about unbelief? You ain't condemned to that either.
That's a
sin. You know, believing don't cancel out your unbelief. The blood of Christ atoned for your unbelief.
Amen.
Because you still got unbelief today, even if you believe.
That's right.
And if, you know, God's people are able enabled to confess that. Just like that one fellow, he said, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief.
Amen.
You know? No, our Lord Jesus Christ said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. It's an immutable purpose. All shall come.
Yes, sir.
There's another fact. It is not based upon man's ability. Giving precedes coming. Right? Now there are that. Well, God gives whom He foreknew would come. That's not what it says. They come because they're given.
Yes, sir.
And then He's quite clear to point out, verse 44, no man can come. See, He don't leave this up. He didn't just give us one verse, make one statement, Joe, and then just kind of leave us hanging out there to, what did He really mean? He defines it for us. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day.
Amen.
Now, it's quite clear. God Almighty is going to save some people. He has saved them, He is saving them, and He shall save them. Mm-hmm. They're going to be saved in spite of themselves, and they're going to be saved in spite of me, and they're going to be saved in spite of you.
That's right. Exactly.
And somebody said, well, God will do it. God will do it with or without your help. No, God's going to do it without our help.
That's exactly right.
What if I don't go preach? Somebody might end up going to hell. No? God's going to save His people. Now, I'll tell you this. It's two things. One, if God is determined for you to tell somebody the truth, you're going to tell them the truth.
Yeah.
Ask Jonah.
Exactly.
And if God's determined to shut your mouth, you won't be able to speak a word.
Amen.
You say, the only hands God's got your hands. The only feet God's feet, the feet God has is your feet. No, God is enfleshed sitting at the, God the Son is enfleshed sitting at the right hand of the Father. He has His own hands, David. His
Amen.
Own feet. His own mouth. His own eyes. Literal ones, Jay.
Yes, sir.
So when a man says, you know, God, you don't, oh, poor old God, if it wasn't for us.
Yeah.
See, here's the problem. They are worshiping an idol.
Yes, sir. That's right.
They may not have hewn it out of wood or stone, but they've hewn Him in their own mind, in their own imagination.
Yes,
they've
sir.
Come up with their own kind of God, and they worship Him.
Yes, sir.
Their son is free will.
Yeah.
They have God the Father who can't do nothing unless you let Him. And the most blessed thing that ever happened to man was God giving him a free will.
Yeah.
Right? One for free will, everybody go to hell. Right? Well, that's the most important. It's all to do with free will. Now, there is a sense in which one man, and I mean a created man, had free will.
Yeah.
a sense. And that was Adam. And look what happened to him. I mean, that really worked out well for Adam and Eve, didn't it? Free will. There is only one free will in the universe. That's God Almighty.
Amen.
Even Adam was not totally free. And let me tell you something. When God put Adam in that garden, Adam was going to fall.
Yes, sir.
Because the fact is, if, you know, we mean God actually purposed to allow that to take place? Yes, he did.
Yes, he did.
He could have kept that one tree out of the garden.
That's exactly right.
You know? Why even put it in there to start with? He's God. He knows all things. They're going to fall. Countless millions will go to hell. But he just don't want that. I don't want that. But he puts the tree in there anyway.
Yes, sir.
You see, the fact is, that's God. Now there's some people coming to Christ, and they're coming to Christ because God Almighty is actively engaged in giving them to Christ, and they shall come. I want to tell you something, that gives me hope.
Yes.
It gives me hope for every person I care about. Now they may not be one, but if they are, they're coming.
Yes, sir.
Right?
That's it.
And at the same time, if they're not, it don't matter how much I beg, cajole, plead, witness, or whatever, they will not come.
That's right. That's it.
They will not come. Somebody says, that almost sounds like we just kind of leave it up to God. Well, that's what you better do. Jesus is the Savior. My name ain't Jesus. And even if it was, it would be a false one.
Yeah.
I'm not the Savior. The coming is defined, right? He even defines his coming. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Him that cometh to me I will no wise cast out. What is this coming? Right? Look at what he says. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day.
Amen.
I thought about this. Why did he say, in him that, why didn't he just say, and him that believeth? Right? And everyone which believeth on him may. Why did he add this seeing? Now, some people think of it in this respect, kind of like saying believing and repenting. Christ is adding something to believing, okay? Or kind of like believing in church membership, right? Or kind of like believing and being baptized. There are people that add those two things together, right? And just on down the line, you have all these different ideas, the things that people add to believing. Some people even add believing to believing. Let me try to explain that. In other words, basically what they're teaching is when God told Abraham, Sarah's going to have a son, what God was telling Abraham, if you believe that Sarah's going to have a son, then if you believe that, then Sarah will have a son. And that's not what it was. Sarah was going to have a son. God told Abraham she was going to have a son, and it had nothing to do with whether he believed in it or not. Abraham was not believing that God would do what he's promised if he believed. He was believing God was going to do what he promised.
Yes.
Period. You see? And some people add, you know, they find all this hope in their believing. But remember, there are people who have believed who were never saved. Right? I mean, we find some Jews in John chapter 8. It says they believed. They heard his words and believed on him. And just moments later, he told them, you're of your father the devil. So there are some believers that are of their father the devil. They're not of Jesus Christ. He said, you seek to kill me.
That's what he said.
Simon the sorcerer was another one. He believed, was baptized, and followed right along with Philip. Peter told him, your heart's not right in the sight of God.
Yeah.
So there is a believing that don't cut it. Right? There's a believing that's not good enough. Well, I'll put baptism with it, but that's not how it works. It's him that seeth the Son. Right? Now, are we simply talking about these eyes? Of course not. Our Lord Jesus Christ told Thomas, because you've seen, you've believed. Right? He said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.
Amen.
In John chapter 17, our Lord praying for the elect, praying for his people, not for the world. He said, I pray not for the world, but for those you've given me out of the world.
Amen.
And he said, I don't only pray for these, that is this specific group right here with me now, but for everyone who shall believe on me through their word. He prayed for those who would believe. He never prayed for people who would never believe.
Exactly. That's it.
But what did he pray? He prayed that we would be with him where he was.
Yes.
And we will. We will. No, the question is, as people say, I believe it, but have you seen him? Have you ever had somebody trying to explain something to you, and it just is beyond your grasp. You just can't get it. Trigonometry is like that to me. When you talk, I just do not understand what you're talking about. Struggled through, what is it, geometry? And when I seen how hard it was, and I barely passed it, they said, well, you'll take trigonometry next year, or whatever. I said, no way. Get me away from that. I'll dig ditches for the rest of my life rather than try to learn that. But all of a sudden, every once in a while, when something's hard and someone's trying to define something to you and they're explaining it, they're using examples, and all of a sudden, you know what happens? It dawns on you. You understand? I see. Right? That's what he's talking about.
Yes, sir.
A person that actually sees the Son.
Yes.
They perceive who he is. They don't just believe on him, but they see him.
That's true.
They see him. Do you see the Son? Do you believe on the Son? I'm not asking you if you believe in Calvinism. You can believe in 5 points and still not see Christ.
That's right.
Now, I believe if you see Christ, eventually you'll begin to see those points. Eventually. And if you don't get them all, that's God's business, if he give you to the Son. Because if he gives you to the Son, you're going to come to the Son. You're going to see the Son. You're going to believe on the Son. The 5 points are not the question. Okay? But I don't care how much you believe if you've never seen him. If it's never dawned on you as to the actual person of Jesus Christ, that this is none other than Almighty God manifest in the flesh.
Yes.
When the scripture says, our God is in the heavens, he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased, is talking about Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
Do you see the Son? Do you believe on him? Now, see the what? Notice he didn't just say, he that seeth me. But he speaks as, you know, in the third person, right? He that seeth, what did he say? He that sees me and believes on me. He's making a point here. He that seeth who? The Son. A son has what? What's the one thing that all sons have? A father. You can't be a son without a father. Right? You just don't. It don't work that way, Jay. They don't exist. Somebody say, well, he's a fatherless son. No, he's got a father somewhere. He may be dead, he may run off, he may be gone, but he got a father somewhere.
Right.
No, he that seeth the Son, he's the son of the chooser. He's the son of the giver. He's the son of the caller. He's the son of the teacher. He's the son of the sovereign of all heaven and earth. And you know what? This book kind of tells us who the majority of these people are they're given. You know that? It does. It tells us who the majority of them are. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. verse 26 for the sake of time. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Now let's stop and pause and think about that just a moment. As Tim James said, let's just mull on that for a little while. Like David, a cow getting the cud and just chew until you get about everything you can try to get out of it. This lets me know God don't even call everybody. Right? That's what it says. Right? It says, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men, not even many, just a few.
Right?
That's the opposite of many, is a few. Just a few. No, they're not left out completely, but most of them are. Right? There are some he's calling, but not many. Well, it don't really mean that. Well, let's just all go do something else then. If it don't mean what it says, Joe, what are we waiting on? A flash from heaven? An angel to come down? Got the scroll mason in his hand? So here's what it really means. No, Paul said if one does come down and he don't preach this gospel, you let him be accursed. And I don't care if he's got that scroll in his hand. Here's from God. No, here's from God. What you got in your hand, I will judge it by this. You know, and if what you've got in your hand, don't cut it with this. You take what you've got in your hand and you know what you can do with it. You see your calling, brethren. Not many wise men, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath, hard for some people to say that word, ain't it? Chosen.
Yes, sir.
But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not to bring to naught the things that are.
Amen.
This is the majority of the people God calls. Right? Not many of the own kind, but the majority are of what? This kind.
Yeah.
But see, the problem is, if you're in the majority, you've got to be what? Base. Nothing. Unwise. Can you take your place there?
That's it.
Huh? And you know what? Even the wise man, the worldly wise man, the worldly powerful man, the worldly mighty man that God calls, you know where he puts him? Down here with these base people. Huh?
Yeah.
He brings them right down there with the rest of them. Huh? But God has chosen the foolish things of the world. Now listen, the longer I live, the more foolish I find out I am.
Yes, sir.
I'm saying the more unwise I find out I am.
You're right.
And when I think, even before I act, when I think, I begin to find out how base I really am. I mean, I can't even quit sinning in my dreams.
Exactly.
You know? I dream of sin. I dream of rebellion against God. Now, why is that, Mason? Because it's a part of who I really am. Aren't you glad God doesn't look at you for what you really are or accept you based upon what you really are? He accepts you based upon the person of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He said, in the things of the world, the base things of the world, the things that are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things that are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. And it will not.
Amen.
The person who thinks, I let God have his way, didn't.
Exactly.
God's done to them exactly what he was pleased to do.
Yes, sir.
And it may be hardening in them, right?
Oh, yeah.
Our God says this, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy.
Yeah.
Right? It's not just I want to have mercy, right? But he says, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it goes on to say, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy.
Amen.
You know what that means? All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will nowise cast out.
Exactly.
And it goes on to say, we best not leave that part out. And whom he will, he also can do what?
Hardeneth.
You say, God can do that? No, he does do that. And not just can, he does.
Yes, sir.
If God don't want you, he ain't gonna have you.
Exactly.
Right? But if he wants you, you're his.
Yes, sir.
The Son bought you with a price. Right?
Yes, sir.
I mean, we're owned, not only are we owned creatively, Joe, but there's a people God owns redemptively. He's actively engaged in this world right now, giving them to the Son. And when he gives them, they'll come.
Yes, sir.
They'll see. They'll believe. Father, I pray as we continue here in our meal, we thank you for all that you've been pleased to give us. And Lord, may we find fellowship with one another in the person and work of thy Son. I ask in his name.